And welcome to Papa's Football Podcast. I am your host, John Papagiorgio, joined by Howard Flood. And how do I introduce you? What are we going to do for that?
I guess you could just call me Rachel.
Rachel, Howard's girlfriend, Rachel. Did I say too much?
That's good. That's a good way to put it.
Well, you are. Your boyfriend and girlfriend, these are your names, so it's not like I came up with anything too clever right there. But thank you for being so bowled over. The show is hosted at pfpod.com. Go there every week. A new episode goes up, and every Thursday, Howard over here.
Well, this will be the last Power Rankings of the season, because the regular season is going to be over.
What are you going to contribute then afterward?
We'll have a weekly playoff prediction type thing. So during
after
the playoffs,
that, though. After that,
we are going to go into the off season and have a little fun with, just general history of the NFL, stuff like that, things that you didn't know. Instead of wasting our time on like hot stove trades in the NFL, why not go back and revisit a little bit of NFL history?
What about recipes?
That's possible.
Will there be recipes?
Yes.
We can make football-shaped cookies.
Yeah, after those like molasses and ginger and ginseng and toenail cookies, whatever the hell Carly just made us.
Oh, they were delicious. Thank you, Carly.
They were good. They were really good.
Thank you.
Yeah, now I'm on a cooking jag. I want more. You provide
that. Can we go back to what happened in the NFL, please?
Well, let's do the intro, and then we do all that. That's how we make it professional-like. Find Papa's Football Podcast on iTunes. Please subscribe to us. Please rate us. Good ratings, too. I hate that I have to specify that. Find us. Be nice to us. Also, look up Papa's Basement and subscribe to that as well. That's the main podcast. This is the football offshoot. And now I can bring down the good old gray sky eternal. It's weird because I had to play it off YouTube today. It's weird actually seeing the Annie Sorrow video. Pretty well shot. Almost 5,000 views. Look at that. Look at my brother doing well for himself.
Moving on up.
Most yeah. Excellent. I haven't done anything that got 5,000 views. I'd kill for 50. So as of the time of this recording, as of right now, it's Monday afternoon, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Yeah, I'm sorry. We didn't record this after all the games are done. But as of this recording,
Who gives a shit about San Francisco playing the Falcons?
I mean, we're going to assume that the Falcons are going to die.
Yeah, it'd be a bit of a stunner if the 49ers didn't beat them.
No, San Fran seems pretty good at beating. I'm probably blacking out on like some horrible team they shit the bed on, but they seem pretty good at taking care of the teams they need to. And honestly, if you're a playoff team, you need to win those games anyhow.
There's a way to D up on Colin Kaepernick, but I don't think the Falcons are going to do it.
Dude, are there teams more than the Falcons that have tapped out on the season?
I think the Redskins are a team that are a bit of a joke of the league, in my opinion.
They're horrible, but I get the feeling through switching to Cousins, they did at least something that makes the games a little different.
I guess, yeah. They are trying to milk some trade value out of him,
which
is the storyline.
They didn't do so well on
He's only
this
lost
previous game.
By a point in each of his two starts.
Well, it beats losing by more than a point, I suppose. He lost less. But as of the time of this recording, each of the four NFC divisions have who they're sending to the playoffs up for grabs, correct?
It's a shocker that after the loss by Seattle, they could potentially fall down into a wild card slot. If they lose next week and San Fran wins out, Seattle's going to be a wild card team.
That is nuts. After everyone sucking their dick all year long. By the way, I got a legal wink-wink internet feed of that Seattle Arizona game. God, that was sweet. Holy dog shit. I mean, Seattle's defense, no one makes them look bad, but their offense can sure as hell be shamed, man. Arizona was on them.
And that's what I'm thinking with next week. So they're going up against the Rams, who don't have a great record, but, you know, Jeff Fisher knows how to coach a football team, so we're going to see the Rams actually show the rest of the league if that Seattle offense can be shut down pretty much by any decent defensive squad in the league. It'll be interesting to see.
Again, I love pointing out the Rams last year were pretty kick-ass in their division while posting a rather lackluster record overall. Right now, 7-8. 8-8? I don't know. Hell.
It's possible.
They're going to be better next year with the Skins and the first pick in the draft. I'll go out on that limb. Fuck. Fuck, we'll get to that later.
Yeah, what an amazing finish to a game.
But the North, everyone lost friggin' Detroit out of the playoffs.
Unbelievable.
Losing five of their last six, I believe.
Yeah, no, like they're not even a story at this point.
3 weeks ago, firmly in the driver's seat for the North.
Cutler was out. Rodgers is out. You assume that...
Tiebreaker over the Bears.
Yeah.
They won the season series at that point against the Bears, and now they are fucking out. There's no scenario where they're in. They're just dead.
Yeah, the Packers and Bears. It's a playoff game next week, so...
I have an unfortunate friend who is a lifelong Lions fan, and he posted there are only three things that are sure in life: death, taxes, and the Lions disappointing their fans.
Yes, heartbreak.
So...
Motown heartbreak.
Exactly. It makes the music so wonderful that comes out of Motown is all the heartbreak dished out by the Lions.
I mean, Jim Schwartz, there were whispers, I think, last year. Was it last year they posted their 4-12?
Yeah.
And last year people were like, this guy, given his talent level on the roster, needs to go. And he stuck around, but I don't think he survives this offseason. I don't know about you. I know it's not the sexiest story, but I find this one fascinating.
I just, the Lions have been so historically bad. It's like when I was talking to those Bears fans who said, you know, we don't think Cutler's the greatest quarterback in the world, but we've had such shitty luck with having any sort of decent quarterback. The only reason Schwartz might keep his job is they've had such a shitty string of coaches. He at least is slightly below average, I feel. I don't feel like he sucks. I don't feel like he's horrible, but I feel like he's just in the bottom half of the league.
But isn't it more that they got rid of Millen? And so their drafting is actually decent?
I wouldn't say it's decent. It can't get worse, though.
That's true.
When Matt Millen is the guy doing all your draft picks, yeah, of course it's going to be better once he's gone.
Well, I'm still shocked that they're not even in contention for the North. It blows my mind. To me, if you can't win in a year when Green Bay is down Aaron Rodgers and the Bears are down Captain Diabetes, what year are you going to take it, honestly?
Yeah, I mean, they got a long road to follow. I have no idea if they're going to be able to bounce back with Matt Stafford as their quarterback. And that's the other guy that's getting flack in Detroit. They're saying that he might not be good enough.
He hasn't developed. He really hasn't. Like,
he's one of the, five guys have thrown now for 5,000 yards in a season? He's
one
of them.
Yeah, but he has crap mechanics. Like, he has this weird sidearm throw. His feet apparently suck. I mean, I've never played a down in the league. What the hell do I know? But he's just not easy to play with for a receiver, or so I've heard. Probably from that loudmouth Jaworski or something. I don't know.
But speaking to the other guys in the 5,000-yard club in a single season, why don't we talk about Peyton Manning a little bit, man? He just
the greatest of all time, the GOAT.
So he broke 5,000 yards as well as actually setting the single-season touchdown record?
I just know he reclaimed his record. I think he got that one, in 07 initially? He got the 49. That date I'm pretty sure I'm wrong on. But he had 49 touchdowns broken by Brady that year that Brady and Moss lit up the league.
Yeah, before losing in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, to that magical 18-1 record.
Yeah.
And Brady had claimed 50, and Peyton got 51 with a game left.
And he has to actually play next week because they did not lock up home field in the AFC.
And since we're going with tons of ands, it's against the Raiders. So Jesus Christ, who more do you want?
What's the record for most touchdowns thrown in a single game? Maybe he's going to go after that one too.
That would be great if he could retie his record, because it's like him and Foles and
I think it's seven
other,
in a game.
Yeah, it's seven, and like five guys have it. But it's like these guys from 2010 onward, and then dudes from like the buzz cut we smoked in the locker room at halftime era, back when they passed 14 times a game.
What are you talking about?
Was that before the forward pass rule?
Yeah. Exactly.
With the leather helmets and the...
Before the league was integrated. No, if you look at who has those seven touchdowns in a game records, it's like Peyton, Nick Foles, and then like Bart Starr,
yeah.
Johnny Unitas. I mean, it goes back a ways, like leather helmet days all of a sudden. To me, that's when passing records really stood out. The same, you look at Marino. And his records are finally getting broken. Do you know what the league was when Marino played?
Yeah, it's really garbage right now.
They had those wonderful, like, shorter jerseys that were going on for a time in that late 80s.
Thing.
Yes.
That's like a U look.
The jersey midriff from the 80s.
Weren't the kids from the U wearing that?
They were.
Like, the jersey covered the bottom of their man tits, and that's it.
They needed to show off those abs.
No, in the 80s, I swear to Christ, you could, like, grab a receiver by the nuts and just bring him down before the ball was even in his vicinity.
Totally legal.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been up
just
until,
like, dick flick.
04. It's 04-05. Peyton Manning's favorite owner, Jim Irsay, went to the competition committee and basically lobbied for more strict enforcement of pass interference. So this is one of the reasons we have all these crazy records getting broken now.
I blame Irsay. My boy Peyton is clean.
Get out of here. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to him losing in the playoffs for the X consecutive year of his career. So,
well, I don't think it's going to be the Ravens that take them out this year.
Probably not. Ravens looked like shit on Sunday. Good God.
And it sucks for them because Cincinnati could actually sew up the 2 seed. It's not likely. However, that game's at 1 o'clock. So Cincinnati is going to be playing as if they are playing for the 2 seed because New England, who has a 2 seed right now, is playing at 4. So the Bengals are going to play to win. And I think the Ravens are just going to be the Ravens again. And we're going to see a team that finishes 8-8 after winning the Super Bowl.
I don't think anybody at the end of last season, anybody that had any kind of reality check was like, you know what? They're going to repeat. No one said that.
They were just that team that got hot. And how many years now has it been, that is the team that got hot and was riding like a 4 or 5 game win streak coming into the postseason. And suddenly, they shouldn't have beat Denver, for fuck's sake, that year.
That is true.
That coverage breakdown was insane. If you go back to the past that beat Denver, it's absurd. The guy could have gotten a lemonade and come just trotted back on the fucking field and made that catch.
But we're not expecting any of the AFC wildcards to be that hot team that comes from nowhere this year.
Hell no. That's the NFC's job this year because the NFC's, like, their wildcards are stocked as shit, man.
It is. It is a sad state of affairs if Arizona does not make the playoffs. That is going to be...
I'm so rooting for them, especially after what they did yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, it's just... Sadly, we're going to get stuck with either San Diego, Baltimore, or Miami.
I'm down for the Chargers. Are you kidding me? Who's their new coach?
No, I'm sorry. There's no way Miami is making it anywhere. Like, come on.
If the season ended today, Miami would be in the playoffs.
Even after laying an egg at Buffalo?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I have a summary of... Because, wait, we have NFC West. If you said San Fran wins out and Seattle loses, like San Fran claims the NFC West, and then the NFC East is just down again to that Sunday night playoff game again with the Cowboys again. It's what, the 4th year of this?
What would be awesome is if Dallas loses to Philly, that will mean in the last 3 years, in the last week, Tony Romo and the Cowboys lost 2 seasons ago. To the Giants.
Oh, was it
for the
Giants
divisional title?
Than this, yeah.
So they've lost to every divisional rival 3 consecutive seasons.
I wish they could lose to themselves, like Street Fighter II Champion Edition, where it's just a different colored Cowboys beat them.
Well, depending on which Romo shows up, you might actually get.
There's some photo making the round on NFLmemes.com right now, and it just says, hold on, let me find the exact wording. I don't want to butcher this poetry. It's an Eagles fan holding up a sign that reads, Cutler is just a guy version of Romo.
Oh, wow.
I love
that's
that
city.
One. Now, the complexity of the NFC is kind of it's a complete opposite going in the AFC, where I believe the 4 divisions are locked. The seeding is not. But Denver has the West.
And
the Patriots have the East.
Yeah, so the Broncos do have the number 2 seed at least. They could, they should win the number 1.
Yeah.
But they have to play for it this week.
And the Bengals have the North, and the Colts got the South a couple weeks ago, if I recall.
Yeah, the Colts are the one team that really can't improve their space. Their prospects in the playoffs this week. So for them, that might be the only team that's not really looking at a serious game here. I think the Kansas City Chiefs are also in that boat. So, but the 1 through 3
I think the Chiefs are actually the one team that can't do shit that's in the playoffs in the AFC.
I guess.
They are locked as a 5, I believe.
Indy could make it into the 3 seed, but I don't even know if that's true because they could just end with the same record, I believe.
Here's the complexity. Pro Football Talk does a great job of breaking down what is going into the 6 seed for the AFC. The Ravens secure the spot with a win over the Bengals plus a Dolphins loss. Or a Chargers loss. Because Baltimore wins a 2-team tiebreaker with Miami or San Diego, but loses a 3-team tie if they all shit.
Isn't that bizarre? Yeah, that's the thing. Like, Miami just, even though they're ahead right now,
yeah,
they're not in control of their own destiny. Winning does not get Miami
into
the playoffs. That's what's weird about the 6 seed right now.
None of these teams can win and in. Exactly. The Dolphins win, they have to beat the Jets. The Ravens have to lose or the Chargers win. And like you said,
it's bizarre.
Win by all three teams would result in a three-team tie, which would go to the Dolphins based on win-loss record in conference games.
But if they all lose, then Pittsburgh could win and steal the spot.
Exactly.
And all those teams, I mean, I guess one of them could win a road playoff game, but I will be shocked. I'll be absolutely shocked.
It's complex, man. It is complex. Like you said, it's Ravens, Dolphins, Chargers, Steelers.
So I guess in that respect, maybe Indy is trying to play for something, because if they can jump up to the three seed, they get to play whichever loser out of those four makes it into the playoffs. Because whoever is the four seed has to play Kansas City, which frankly doesn't seem that impressive, because Kansas City just got its ass kicked yesterday. Like, they got hammered. And they were hosting Indy. So
let me
here's
see the actual score.
It was 23-7. It was terrible.
Oof.
Like, Alex Smith looked terrible. It was pathetic, man.
That sucks, man, because their offense have been doing well, but who are they playing? I think you really have to look at that.
Andy Reid has to dig deep and like do something with that playbook, because, I mean, I just don't think Alex Smith is really going to be able to help them win championships in the future, and he'll be lucky to even win one playoff game this year.
He is who everyone thought he was, and he cost them 2 second-round picks, mind you.
Two.
It was a flat two, and then if they won 8 or more games, I believe the second pick went from either a fourth or a third to a second.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So they're stuck with him next
year. But trust me, San Fran is not the only team in the NFC West who flossed a team for a quarterback. There's another team called the Rams who got into a little trade with the Redskins, who yesterday gave it up to Dallas, London Fletcher's final home game. They couldn't hold it together. They lose, I believe, 23-24.
Another 1-point loss for Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. Yes, who I didn't see a ton of the game, to be honest. I was out trying to score brownie points with the chick and be an okay boyfriend and turned it off when she was like, I have to get ready. You know, you should probably head out. And it was maybe 20 seconds left in the game. And I went, sure.
Oh, yeah. That's brutal.
Yes. Of course. I wish you understood what was on the TV.
But nothing mattered for your team, let's be real.
It absolutely didn't matter.
Pride, come on. That's all the Redskins ever pay.
Pride is a
for.
Myth. Pride does not exist.
It's the only thing they can win.
Are they proud of their stadium out in Landover, Maryland? Is that something to be proud
of? I'm not saying they have won it. I'm saying that's what they're playing for.
Another rainy day. That field looked like dog shit, by the way.
Oh, what was it? 2 weeks ago when it was like snowing all up and down the East Coast, and that stadium just looked like... It just looked like a dirt.
Yeah.
It was like a mud bath. Like, huh, let's
all the other
all
snow stadiums kept their pristine snow. And the Redskins, it looked like a fleet of dachshunds took a shit all over.
It was definitely a dog park in the ghetto.
I just quickly on the Redskins, this is why you do not give up that many draft picks for anyone. 2 years removed. The entire regime can change. Who the fuck knows if the new guy is even hot for RG3? And you've got to rebuild down a second round pick and 2 first-round picks. That's insane. What a handicap.
I don't agree with that. I think like RG3 is one of the quarterbacks that, you know, before his knee injury was definitely worth the trade. And I think, you know, next year you might see him actually bounce back to be the quarterback he was last season.
That would be great. I mean...
So would you like still continue to say, if you had the guy that played last year playing next year, would you still maintain that? Like that allegation that you're making, you don't think the pick was worth it?
Well, again, just look, had they kept it, it's 2 more years of eating shit, and then they're on the fast track for the first round pick. Or, I'm sorry, the first pick, not first round pick.
First overall.
They sure as hell aren't getting that. They can give to St. Louis the first overall pick. It's just them in Houston at this point. Jaguars in the rear view. Bye-bye, Jaguars. You beat us. You have done better this year than the Redskins. Bye-bye.
I mean, it's just, I think it's hard to predict when a guy's going to have the type of injury he did in the final game of last season. And so, like, coming back for week one this year, Rodney Harrison just pointed out pretty quickly on Sunday Night Football, listen, like, it's a 2-year injury to recover from. I've had the same one as him. Adrian Peterson is a freak and came back quickly, but there's no way RG3 is going to be able to play to his full capacity and ability this year, period. We knew that week one going into the season. So if you guys want to win another divisional title, I think it could happen as early as next year with that guy. It's just there was no way you were going to do it this year with him at the helm.
I think they actually should have probably benched him a little sooner. I know everyone's all up in arms about the controversy with Shanahan seating him and whether that's like a ploy to get fired or whatever. But with that kind of injury, like, yeah, you need time to heal from it. And they probably would have been better off benching him for the entire first half of the season. Maybe then you'd have a decent quarterback who was able to run and felt comfortable in his own shoes and not afraid that he was going to like bust his knee again with every play. Maybe if you sat him for the first half of the season, you could bring him back in the second half and they'd be a much different team right now. They might have a playoff shot. They might, you know, be able to do something. And now he's just going to have another offseason of still healing. Like,
at the very least, if you just took the three games that Kirk Cousins is playing right now and put them at the front of the season, you would have had a better year.
And the first three games of the season sucked anyway because RG3 didn't practice all offseason, so they were like preseason games.
It's a mess. I don't know what else to say. It's a goddamn mess. As always, business is fucking usual.
But
in DC.
Screw you, man. You guys won the division last year. Last time before that was the 20th century. So, like, I don't know. I think Washington fans are ungrateful. You're not alone in
mean,
that. But
if, dude, seriously, if you mortgage the entire future and the rest of this dude's career is sniffing the ass of winning the division one year, it was a horrific trade.
But what if he comes back next year and is the same player and, like, you got to come back on air and, like, eat your words?
That'd be great. All right. I mean, what if I come on air and I'm like, oh, yeah, Kate Upton would never suck my dick. And then 2 weeks later, I'm like, oh, I have some crow to eat. Jeez, that's a little win-win.
Right. Okay.
Just actually, the one scenario isn't so winning. It's just me stating my life. Stating a stark reality I'm going to live in.
Well, but the fun segue right here, look at Peyton Manning. Like, everyone thought he was out with that neck injury. Was that 2 years ago now? And the Colts dropped him like yeah. He was hot, I guess. I don't know. And now he's fucking just blowing up with Denver. So you never know how someone's going to come back from an injury. And
I guess. I'm holding out hope. If nothing else, even if they're down these first-round picks, which just kills me. Kills me.
Wait, we'll revisit this at draft time. We will be doing episodes around the draft, and I will just be constantly following the Redskins pick to see who actually is.
With them, it's not even the fucking draft, though. It's like, what are the free agents they're going to grab now that they've got, what, 18 mil back in the bank? 20 mil compared to what they had last year?
That's what's more important. Like, Shanahan's actually going to have a little more spending money, so.
I don't know if it's Shanahan, but
somebody will have some more spending money.
Yeah. I'd be okay with that, honestly. I don't give a shit at this point. Leave him in.
I say you fire Kyle and Hazlitt. Just get rid of those two. Give them two new coordinators, and like that'll be a good team next year. So they do play in a shitty division.
It's true. If you can make it anywhere,
NFC least is the place to be right now.
I don't know, man. Eagles not looking so bad to me. I'll be honest.
I mean, they're starting to learn the offense, but I still question their ability to compete against the big boys. I mean, I'm not going to say
with
that.
You. Trust me, this is not a man rooting for the Eagles. I want to see their balls kicked in. I want to see Chip Kelly be the new Andy Reid, where they get to the playoffs a bunch and they never do anything.
I think they'll struggle against the wildcard teams, even in Philadelphia. So we'll see how that. I've been calling all year for the NFC East winner, no matter who it was, to lose in the first round of the playoffs. So I'd be stunned. Like, they're looking better than I thought they'd be at this point, but they still don't look like a team that can actually beat a team outside their own division. Or the Lions. That doesn't count. Beating the Lions does not count.
This is true.
Lions might as well be in that division.
Also, I don't know if we talked at all about the Bears just dying to Philly last night. Did you watch that game at all?
I turned it on at the end of the first half, and I was just like, I don't know if the Bears are really going to stop the Eagles at all this game. So we ended up watching I have to admit that now, huh? Yeah, we watched a musical.
Yeah, what?
It was a documentary on Stephen Sondheim.
Huh?
You know West Side Story?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I guess he wrote the lyrics for that.
With the white people painted brown to be Puerto Ricans or whatever?
Yes. I don't believe he was involved in that decision, but, you know.
That was great. There's only one Spaniard in all of, like, cinema at that point.
Well,
Cesar
that was
Romero.
The movie, though. The musical actually came out, what, 5-6 years before that and was not actually a hit. And then MGM,
okay,
6 years later, is like, hey, remember that one by Bernstein and Sondheim? Let's give that a crack.
That was a good call on their part. I'm going out on a limb by saying that. I think they had a hit.
There was one Hispanic actor in that movie, though.
Who, the help?
What? The guy with the gun, Chino.
Chino is actually Spanish?
Chino was actually Hispanic, yeah.
I guess that's okay as long as he didn't whistle at any of the white cast. All right. You wanted to do a fantasy segment.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because you don't really like
just lurching from horrific segue to horrific segue.
I mean, as we're looking at tonight's game, San Francisco's playing Atlanta. I actually am not going to watch this the way that like a normal football fan should, which is, you know, hey, let's watch a game. Let's see what's going on. I'm going to watch from the fantasy perspective because I'm in my playoffs. And I will win today as long as Tony Gonzalez does not score a touchdown.
He will, though. He's their only offensive tool left.
Shut up. I have $200 running on this. Like, I need him to stay out of the end zone, and that's all I really care about. Once upon a time, I was actually trying to follow.
He could score a touchdown and then just, like, fumble a ton, and he'd still be okay.
He could score one touchdown on one catch and then fumble. That would be acceptable.
This is why I hate fantasy
exactly.
football.
So, I don't know, man. I just figured I'd give you the platform. I've been telling you I don't care about fantasy all season. We mention it occasionally.
Yeah, and you go and betray me like this.
Yeah.
It's awful. It confuses allegiances. First of all, it's dorky as hell. I love guys that don't think it's dorky because it's football instead of elves and goblins and shit like that. Guess what? It's the same fruity little futzing with statistics. It's like you're making your little football team. Guess what? That's the same as getting your elf, your cleric, and your knight to march into the dungeon.
Well, how hilarious would it be if you collected those people and put them on a football team? Field, you know, if you had like a dwarf and a gnome,
I would like
against
that.
An elf.
It was Mutant League football, and it was a great game for the Genesis. And not only that, it screws up like what you're going through right now. Your ability to just watch a game, like yesterday, I have Jason Witten on my team.
I have Jason Witten.
There you go. Why would the fuck would I want to root in any way, shape, or form for anything Dallas related when they're playing the Skins? What kind of screwed up shit is that?
See, in defense of people who are fans of a team that play fantasy, it is incumbent upon you not to start your favorite team's opponent. Like, just don't do it. If you really root for an NFL team, when you have a player on your fantasy team that's playing your favorite team in real life, don't start that guy because it will fuck you up in the head as you're rooting for your player on your shitty fantasy team.
Trust me, I don't want my money screwed with.
Or don't even draft that guy. Like, yeah, I guess. Draft him in the first place.
Well, it's hard because you can't predict it. It's going to happen every week. But yeah, you really shouldn't draft like a rival player.
Right. If you're a diehard Redskins fan, maybe you shouldn't draft anyone from the Cowboys. It's not like there's not a ton of other players you could draft. So,
but I'll be real. I was watching that like game-winning touchdown drive, and every time like they were setting up for a possible touchdown pass in that last drive, I was like, please go to Jason. Please go to Jason.
Yeah.
He just hasn't done enough for me today.
I don't know. In defense of fantasy football, I think if you don't have a team, like if you don't have a football team that you would watch regularly, it is a way to get you engaged and involved in watching football.
No, it's tremendous hit for the league. It's so much of why NFL is just titanic right now, honestly.
I'll say this, and like as a more veteran fan trying to like use it as a tool to learn more about the league, trolling the waiver wire actually is a great way to learn about players who are up and coming. Because you can see guys as like they suddenly string together three good weeks where you're like, huh, I don't know, LeGarrette Blount suddenly out of nowhere was doing well.
Yeah, it would absolutely give me more knowledge of players. Like I'd actually know names and things like that, but who needs to slow down the show with such nonsense?
Because I really enjoyed doing, and this is actually fun. If you have a league, I might actually start a league. I don't know if I can convince you to do it, but I've done individual defensive players before, and that can be really fun because you're actually learning about which linebackers are, getting a lot of tackles. And ironically,
that sounds very hardcore.
That is so much work.
It's a lot of work, but what's funny is when you look at the stats for doing those kinds of leagues, it doesn't really follow like the best players get the best stats on defense. Because like on defensive line, you see a lot of double teams on the best players. So the guy getting the sacks happened to be the defensive end playing with Warren Sapp. And with linebacking corps, the guys who get the most tackles play behind shitty defensive lines. They're just like letting all these running backs get to the second level. So I remember there was a couple years where Jonathan Vilma played for the Jets when I was doing this. This is a long time ago.
Yeah.
But, oh, man, those defenses were terrible. And he just had to make every tackle on that team. It was bad. And he just got all these points because his front line sucks so bad.
And where did he go to school?
It's from the U.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Rachel over here is a big U fan.
I am.
Do we wrap up with the games for next week? I mean, there's a bunch with playoff implications. I don't even know which ones you can point to.
Well,
I had Jets at Dolphins. Dolphins, of course, got
to
win theirs.
I think the best way to look at it, man, is to start at 1 o'clock and work through the hour. Because, I mean, like I said, the biggest thing to me is Baltimore and Cincinnati are playing at 1. And so Cincinnati's playing as if they can clinch the 2 seed. So as much as Baltimore was hoping that they'd be able to walk into this game and face a team where, you know, Cincinnati was pretty satisfied where it was in its seeding. No. Like, Cincinnati's going to be playing tough. And I think Baltimore's going to be screwed.
I don't like what Baltimore's capable of. They had gone, I believe, 7 quarters without a touchdown before finally getting one yesterday.
A touchdown.
Yeah, a touchdown. Ah.
A junk time. Yeah. But yeah. What about Carolina playing Atlanta? I mean, the reality is Carolina should take home the 2 seed.
Dude, in Carolina,
the NFC.
Right now, on fire. Getting to event. The only blemish on Carolina outside of like week 4 is them getting kicked in New Orleans.
I got to be real, man. I watched some of that game yesterday. They did not look great. Carolina did not look great on offense. They had that fantastic drive. Like, Cam Newton led that team into the end zone on the final drive of the game. It was amazing.
I don't know what to say, though. Not even the great teams don't look amazing for, honestly, a lot of games. See, how many fucking games has Seattle had to clench at the last second this season? It's easily 3. Off the top of my head, they've won last second.
I'll be honest, deep down inside, I do want to see a rematch between Carolina and Seattle in the NFC Championship game.
Fuck me, that would be hot as hell.
Because they played week 1, and everybody kind of looked at that game as odd. It was an aberration because it was a defensive struggle in week 1, which was just like a game of Madden, you know? Like, everybody else who played week 1 was just scoring touchdowns left and right, and that game finished 12-7. It was crazy.
That does sound hot as shit, man.
But the other 1 o'clock games, I'm in Jets at Miami. I actually am rooting for Geno Smith to pull out the win against Tannehill.
I'm not big on the Dolphins, honestly. They can go to hell this season. But you've got Packers at Bears, 1 p.m. That's Titanic.
That's at 4. Sorry, that's moved to 4.
Oh, they bumped it?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck you, Sports Illustrated. Keep your... Ugh.
So, yeah, no, the 4:30 game is now Green Bay, Chicago.
Okay, that's insane.
Well, let's touch on this real quick. Do you think Rodgers is going to play?
I'm gonna go with no.
I don't think he will either.
I think they feel think they can should. Beat him.
Probably shouldn't, yeah.
They probably think they can beat the Bears without.
I mean, the problem is they're playing in Chicago, so you think they can pull the road upset with Matt Flynn at the helm?
Yes.
That's defense in Chicago is pretty bad.
It's bad, dude. It is not good. They gave up how much? 51 to the Eagles last night? For fuck's sake.
I still got to pick Chicago to win that division, man. I can't.
Are they going to be this year's Vikings, though, where they just go in and eat shit game number 1? I know the Vikes wild carded in, but still.
I mean, who would they play? So they'd be, but they'd have a home game, and they would be hosting either San Fran. I'm assuming Seattle's going to win. We'll get there in a sec, but I'm saying, like, they're probably going to face either the Saints or the 49ers at Soldier Field. Now, I guess the 49ers would be a better team on the road, but the Saints are not good on the road.
Saints
man.
Wouldn't do shit. 49ers yeah. would win.
But, I mean, like, could you imagine the Bears getting past the Saints in the first round of the playoffs?
Bears getting past the Saints. Yeah, you know, Bears
Yeah,
hosting,
the Saints
yeah.
have to travel.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Saints are a horrid road team.
To that horrible, horrible place known as Soldier Field in December.
Oh, my God. I went to Soldier Field last year in October. In October, like the beginning of October.
Chicago's a hell.
Yeah, for the Miami-Notre Dame game, which was supposed to be this amazing like rejuvenation of the rivalry of the 80s. No, it was fucking cold. It was horrible. And we just got like our asses beat into a sad, snow-filled, turdy pulp. It was just terrible. Fuck Chicago. And they don't even know how to make pizza. Fuck them.
Oh, those 6 inches of dough with a layer of cheese on top. I want to go to Uno's now.
Ugh. Get out of here.
Yes.
Get out of here. We are not dining together after this.
What else we got in terms of playoff shit? So obviously, the huge one is Eagles at Cowboys.
No, it's not huge. Shut up.
See, that's the East.
They're lining up to lose first round of the playoffs. That's what's happening in that game.
I mean, that's
not
true,
a real game.
But let's act like we'll take it week by week, like the alcoholics do. So for this week, it's big.
I really am rooting for Dallas to lose so that Jason Garrett has to answer questions about losing 3 years in a row each year. He'll be gone.
That will be the answer to those questions.
Divisional rival. You have to get him at the postgame conference. Like, whoever the reporters are out there, like,
clearly they're listening to this.
They're
podcast.
obviously stealing material from us for their own columns. But one of the things they're going to do.
Show us your creepy orange pubes, and when will you be fired?
How do you explain losing to each of your divisional rivals in the last 3 years in the final week of the season, thereby barely missing out on playoffs?
This kills me. There's not even a... Okay, never mind. They delete... Sports Illustrated deleted the Sunday night game, so it just looks like the schedule ends with a bunch of 425 games.
Ah.
So annoying. There's no Monday night game, though, right?
No,
I believe Monday night. Yeah, Monday night football's done. So what, our last interesting 425 game is 49ers at Cardinals.
No, wrong.
Screw them and their schedule. What?
No, like, I'm telling you, man, the big thing, watch, is Denver and New England are just going to be competing, like, minute to minute to see if the one seed and the two seed are going to be those two teams.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting game.
So, I mean, that's the biggest story for me at 4 o'clock. I mean, yeah, you have the possibility of San Francisco, like, beating out Seattle as well for that's number one. Well, number one, like a bye week, basically. So they're fighting for the NFC West at the same time frame. But, I mean, St. Louis has to make it interesting at Seattle for anybody to really care. So it really could
never
happen.
I hope they do. God, you hope that the one thing, the Skins giving away 19 drafts worth of picks to, you know, the Rams will accomplish is, like, it makes for four teams in the West that just beat the shit out of each other at this point and come into the postseason greatly reduced. That's it. But, that's me coming up with a silver lining.
Here, let me let's end on this. So the final game that matters on Sunday, it's Kansas City at San Diego.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna make the sleeper pick for the AFC wildcard. I'm gonna say that San Diego gets it. They win that game, and then the cards fall for them to jump ahead of Miami as well as Baltimore.
I would love that. I don't, for whatever reason, hate the Chargers. Their team, I think it goes back to when they got, what's his tits, who went 14-2.
Schottenheimer.
Marty.
Marty Ball.
But they had Marty, and the guy takes him into the playoffs at 14-2 and loses, and they have the fucking balls to fire him after that. I mean, what the living hell?
And they replaced him with Norv Turner, where it was like, well, you got to make that huge hire.
Game after fucking, or I'm sorry, season after season of eating shit.
But who do you have then? Who's your wildcard pick out of the AFC?
In terms of likelihood or who I want?
Well, let's go with both. Likelihood first.
Likelihood. Likelihood is probably the Ravens, honestly.
You think they're going to beat Cincinnati?
Yeah. Fucking Cincinnati sucks shit.
Okay.
Who did they lose on defense like 6 weeks ago for the year? And their defense has just eaten balls since.
I don't know, man. They played pretty well this week.
They're hit and miss, but they're like the goddamn Lions of the AFC.
They're just so... Dalton is my my fantasy quarterback. Him and Andrew Luck. Dalton. So basically, my fantasy quarterback has just kind of been a... crapshoot, and whoever I bench inevitably gets like 40 points, and whoever I play gets like 2, and it's like, thanks, guys. So from that perspective, he's just completely unpredictable.
Yeah, I would like the Chargers to come in because I think the Chargers are a tough and disciplined team.
They've pulled some crazy upsets this year.
I really like what McCoy has done with them. Possible coach of the year candidate, honestly.
He'd need to make the playoffs first.
I don't even know if he would.
Yeah.
Now, Reed is actually the slam dunk.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Fine. Fine.
That team won 2 games last year. Yeah. KC, like. Anyway, so you have the Chargers playing Kansas City. Do you think they win?
What's Kansas's? What is their record right now?
I think they're 11-4.
11-4. I'm taking the Chargers. They got more to play for. Because, like, Andy, they're debating if they're going to just bench their starters. He's, like I said, he's the one dude who's got nothing to play for.
He really has nothing to play for right now.
Yeah, they're just locked into 5 seed.
And so, so you have that game, and then Baltimore, you think, could beat Cincinnati.
Yeah, let's not act like that's anything marvelous.
But what about the Jets versus going to play Miami?
Fucking Jets are crapshoot too, man. Geno Smith sucks shit.
I feel like that's just a match of who can suck more.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of like, who wants to lose this game more? It's not who wants to win. It's kind of like, well, I really want to lose, but, you know, the Dolphins, they really want to lose more. So I think it's a battle of wills on who can suck the hardest.
I think the Jets defense might be better. So I would give them the edge in the overall matchup, just because I don't think Miami's going to be able to do much on offense.
I wouldn't be surprised if that game was like 6-3 or like 3-0, something ridiculously horrible.
I predict 3 touchdowns from Geno Smith.
Now I know you're talking crazy.
Nah, he's my dude.
Well,
Geno's a man.
Let's wrap this one up.
If I get eliminated from the fantasy playoffs, he's my starting quarterback next week.
For the loser bracket?
Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
Which, by the way, I am dominating the actual loser bracket because everyone else had stopped caring, and I'm like, no, I will win.
Well, if Tony Gonzalez scores a touchdown tonight, I'll be joining you with Geno Smith at the helm.
Oh, bring it. Me and Dalton.
This was Papa's Football Podcast. I'm John Papagiorgio, joined by Howard Flood and his girlfriend Rachel. You can find the show at pfpod.com. as well as on iTunes, where we really, if you're a fan, we'd appreciate you getting it through iTunes. Just look up the words Papa's Football Podcast in the handy-dandy iTunes search. We'll come right up. Also, in papasbasement.com is my main podcast. You can also just search Papa's Basement on iTunes to find that.
Don't forget to plug the Twitters.
Oh, yes, the Twitters. I'm at Papa's Basement. That's my main one. For the football show, it's Papa Football Pod. I tried to live tweet football games. Howard should too, but he never does.
Maybe for the playoffs, man.
Howard's at What the F and Heezy for his main account. Rachel, anything you want to plug?
Sure. I am at KaneChick05.
There you go. Follow us all. It makes us feel so very good.